Terry Science Institute, and his presentation is Geologic Mapping of the Lunar South Pole.
Thank you. So today I'm going to talk to you about some of the work I've been doing, some of the mapping I've been doing at the South Pole, starting out with some of the scientific objectives, just a little question of why remap the South Pole, and the moon in general, looking at the regional geology, some of the mapping methodology, kind of preliminary observations, the current status of the map, and then just to summarize in the end. And also want to point out that want to thank some of the work. Some of this work has been done by some students at various stages of their career, David Shulman, Laura Van Aerstal, and Aaron Dominov, who most of them particularly strained their eyes looking at craters, trying to identify impact craters. The scientific objectives, the main ones are to constrain the geologic history of the lunar South Pole, examine the spatial and temporal variability of the geologic processes within this map area. Specifically, most of the map area is located within South Pole Aitken Basin, or at least half of the map area is. I want to find out what relationship does the South Pole Aitken Basin have to the map area, what relationship do subsequent impact basins and subsequent processes have within the map area. I'm going to analyze stratigraphic relationships relating to that, and looking for geologic ages. Evaluating the structure of the regolith and the crust, assessing the distribution of impact-generated materials, and determining the timing and effects of major basin-forming impacts on the crustal structure. Again, specifically looking at SPA, both within and outside of SPA, correlating surface features with topography, also doing some basin ejecta modeling based on Petro and Peters and the Petro, looking at the lateral distribution and thickness of ejecta, and then finally assessing the distribution of resources and the relationships with surface materials. And that's simply taking the multispectral derived products, clementine, lunar prospector derived products, and then comparing, correlating them with lithologic units and surface features. So the geologic mapping program has fairly recently started up, initiated by Lisa Gaddis, with the Copernicus crater, and my colleague, good friend Jim Skinner will talk about that later. And then recently the Aristarchus Quad was awarded this past year through PGG, which is running this program. It's broken up into 30 quadrangles at 1 to 2.5 million scale. The previous mapping, lunar mapping program was 1 to 5 million scale. So this is a great increase in the scale, and based on the data, we should be able to map at much better quality. And so I'm hoping that this LQ30 is the third quad. Now, why remap the lunar south pole? Well, as Dave pointed out in the introduction, we have a wealth of new data. The previous mapping program, especially for the south pole of the moon, done by Don Wilhelms in 1979, is lunar orbiter based. Lunar orbiter is a great data set. It still is. It's still very useful. But we also have, again, lunar the clementine images, UV-Vis, near-IR, high-res data. We have topography, both from clementine, stereo-based, stereo-derived topography near the poles, and also Earth-based radar near the poles. We also have the multispectral and elemental data sets from Lunar Prospector, specifically using the half-degree hydrogen, iron, and thorium data sets, and also some new data sets from Kogoya, SMART-1, and then upcoming Chandrayaan and LRO data. And these high-resolution data sets could improve crater size frequency distributions, therefore relative ages of units, and then also improve contacts, where we identify contacts. Also, ideas about lunar science issues have been evolved significantly, and we've also come up with new questions. And then finally, geologic maps can act as a great resource for mission planning and landing site selection. The regional geology of the South Pole, specifically within the 30 degrees of the pole, which is the official quadrangle, 90 to 60 degrees. It's located, the far side is located within the South Pole Aitken Basin. The map area itself exhibits about 16 kilometers of relief from about plus 9 on the near side to minus 7 on the far side within on the floor of Antoniadi Crater. Hosts all or part of at least 46 impact features, not counting the ones Herb found, has identified so far. Previous works have identified that most materials within this area are pre-Nectarian to Imbrian in age. Some of the youngest materials, which I'll talk about today, are on the floor of Schrodinger Basin. And most of the materials are impact-derived, either ejecta, impact betcha, or impact melt. And there are a few Mari deposits poleward of specifically 70 degrees south. The largest are on the floor of Schrodinger. And also, some previous researchers have found that secondary craters, a good number of secondary craters, are found in the South Pole area from Oriental, Imbrium, and the Humboldt basins, and then also on the floor of Schrodinger. Let's take a look at the methodology. Very simple. I'm using Esri ArcGIS to do the geologic mapping. ISIS, Photoshop, and Illustrator for image enhancement and image processing. Doing crater size frequency distributions and looking at superposition and cross-cutting relationships to determine age relationships for units. And then looking at the basin ejecta model, which I mentioned previously, to estimate the lateral distribution of ejecta, the depth of the regolith mixing, and then the provenance of the regolith, and try and develop a history of ejecta emplacement, and I hope to get touch on that towards the end. Now, at LPSC, I showed a preliminary map of the 90-degree pole to minus 60-degree latitude quadrangle around Schrodinger Basin. I'm going to focus on some of the modifications I've made to Schrodinger, so I'm just going to focus on Schrodinger for this talk. Schrodinger is lower Imbrian age peak ring basin. It's heavily floor fractured, and most of the fractures occur towards the south, on the south side of the crater floor. You do find some within the peak ring, but most are found outside of the peak ring. The largest Mari deposits south of 70 degrees are found on the floor of Schrodinger. Evidence for pyroclastics have been found in this area. And then, as I mentioned previously, there are Orientale and Antoniadi secondary craters on the basin floor. The map of Schrodinger as it stands now, I've identified 12 units. The youngest, I think, based on crater size frequency distributions and superposition relationships, are what I'm considering the volcanic, in quotes, volcanic materials, which include the pyroclastics and these the SDP or the dark planes here. Five planes units in the green colors, which specifically the modeled planes occur primarily within towards the center of Schrodinger. The smooth planes form more or less a ring around the center of the basin, but are occur mostly within the peak ring. And then you have the hummocky planes and the rugged planes that form the ring outside of the peak ring, between the peak ring and the wall. Excuse me. And then finally you have the peak ring materials, the rim materials, and this unusual unit, which is here in the white and here, which I'm not quite sure what it is. If you look just at the image, the Clementine mosaic, it's this here and here, which kind of connects the wall to the peak ring. And it's not clear to me how that's happening right now. They do trend, or seem to follow the trend here's Schrodinger Valles. So whether this is somehow connected in some way, I'm not 100% certain on that yet. And then over here, this piece over here, you see this chain of secondaries. Whether that's connected, again, I'm not too sure. It might just be coincidence. So I need to find a home for those two. Some of the close-up features, here's that pyroclastic unit, the two pyroclastic units, might be hard to see in this room, but I've been able to find or see a scarp here representing at least an inner deposit of pyroclastics and then the outer pyroclastic, so suggesting maybe at least two events at this location. These dark planes, it's very interesting. I don't know if it has been identified before. I haven't been able to find it in the literature, but in the Clementine images, there is a very small rill. I don't know. I hope you can see it. Entering this one deposit of dark planes material. And I think this is dying again. Yeah. Get another pointer. So I hope you can see that. Might be a new feature. There we go. Thanks, Dave. And one thing we can use is the Clementine multispectral data, the color ratio from the UV-Vis data. And here we have the band ratios, where yellow on the fluoroschrodinger is mafic rich, whereas the blues, not too many blues, are more feldspathic. But we can use these to help identify contacts. Just some of the other planes units. I'm not 100% settled on some of these unit identifications. Some of these planes might just be intermixed, and you have the secondary craters from various impact basins, local impact basins, that kind of skew the surface features or the surface texture of the individual planes units. So there might be some lumping, might be more splitting. Again, this map is not complete, so changes are still possible. One of the last close-ups I want to show is this area, which is on the southern end or the southern floor of Schrodinger, the knobby planes. What we can do is start to build up a sequence of within the map area, build up a sequence of events where you've had Schrodinger impact basin forming event, followed by what I think is the Ganswindt basin impact forming event, which I think this knobby plains is representing ejecta from Ganswindt, and then followed by the Amundsen or the this crater next to Amundsen. Throwing its ejecta within Ganswindt, and you can see this striated pattern here. Why you don't see any of that same texture within the Amundsen-Ganswindt basin, which is another large impact basin here, that's, again, another mystery. Looking at some crater size frequency data, I identified all craters within Schrodinger greater than 1 kilometer. Total crater population of over 2,300 craters. The volcanic materials, and just for the sake of trying to pick out every single one of these units on the plot, I lumped together the volcanic materials, the plains materials, and then the Schrodinger materials. The volcanic materials show lower to upper, thank you, upper Imbrian age. The plains materials show late Nectarian to upper Imbrian. And finally, the Schrodinger materials show late Nectarian to upper to Imbrian ages. Again, there are a lot of secondary craters on the floor of Schrodinger, which are going to really skew these ages. So I think at some point I want to go through and try and pick out those secondary craters and see what how the craters these statistics plot up. Lastly, I want to show just touch on the basin ejecta modeling, which Noah Petro is happily helping me out with on for this project. It uses ejecta thickness models and other parameters such as a crater diameter to estimate lateral distribution of ejecta, the depth of the regolith mixing, and the provenance of regolith, and to try and develop a history of ejecta emplacement. This is at half degree resolution using 1,233 craters centered around Schrodinger that extend out to Oriental at a diameter greater than 30 kilometers. And you can see, specifically referring to Schrodinger, that this crater, Ganswint, does show a little bit of a little bit more ejecta on the floor of Schrodinger, whereas in other parts of or these other craters haven't really, according to this model, don't really contribute large amounts of ejecta. And just to summarize. In general, mapping the lunar surface at smaller scales than previous is useful for future missions. And specifically regarding the mapping, I'll let you read those and take your questions. Thank you.
Time for a quick question or two? Yeah.
Right. Some of the some of those planes units that I've identified could be some of the original impact melt. And as far as for the slumping, I haven't specifically looked at individual features. At some point, that it can be a part of the map. Looking for perhaps a sequencing of slump events within the basin itself, but.
Okay, we'll move on. Thank you. Okay, the next presentation.